Hello and welcome to Holden Village. Today is July 19th, 2006. Today's session is entitled Measure My Life in Moments, presented by Ron Pierre Vignac. Let's listen in.
Life Without Parole went in at 17, and the community came together for this young man, Gerald Hankerson. The retired judge said this, quote unquote. He said, "I measure my life now in moments." Because he wanted to make sure that this man got out of jail. Because he said, "I don't know if I'll be around in 2 years." And when he said, though, I measure my life in moments. When I talk about homicides and all, I don't get into all the, you know, oh, how terrible it is. You'd go crazy if you thought that. I know when people kill each other, it usually is but a moment. Literally a moment. If anyone knows anybody have guns and all, you just go poof, poof, and you're gone. The grief lasts maybe forever. The broken community, if it has no healing, and so forth and so on. So I actually asked, I'm just going to show this. This is simply a moment of blessing that happened maybe a year and a half ago. It was whatever was wrong with the father, killed his mother, and his son, young son, I think he was like 8, called in 911 and said, "I'm bleeding to death. And my father just killed my mother." This is on 911. Police come, everybody comes. I want you the context for this little moment, because you're not going to see him. The little boy happened to be related to people in my little mission, which has no program, but they happen to work in the school. It was in Tillicum, Washington. And Oprah got a hold of the story. And then when it originally happened, she sent him a truckload of toys. That was her response. No, it was. Then, a month ago, this little boy was on her show. Now, I would only say, I'm sorry they didn't show this. Because this is where the blessing took place. This is where his little friend, and you'll hear her doing Psalm 23 in a minute. Is it already on?
No, it's ready to go.
It's getting ready. So as we see this, it's quick. It's just a little neighborhood, little house, little people, white, mixed, whatever the heck they were. But the mother's dead. She'll be on one of those ribbons I will bring out tonight. And then how do you reclaim a place like that? So I want you to think about moments. How in a moment can you reclaim your life for life when violence happens to us? It doesn't have to be as violent as this. Okay, thank you.
Right.
Visit the sites of recent homicides for what they call a moment of blessing. Although they acknowledge each homicide victim with a red ribbon and with words, the ceremony focuses on blessing the place. From neighbors who knew the family, to a local police officer who didn't, anyone who's touched by the tragedy is welcome.
Holy Spirit, and redeem this place and people from the violence and death that has occurred here. Return it as a safe place, a place of community, a place of life, a place of hope.
Amen. United Methodist Pastor Julia Price hopes this home won't always be seen as a place where something awful happened.
But I look at it and realize that perhaps someday there will be another family that lives here. That may be difficult to have it happen very soon, but I would hope that eventually that can happen and that this can be the beginning of the healing that makes that possible.
Let us go in peace. Amen. Amen.
In Tacoma, Washington, I'm Kim Ringland reporting.
Any comments? this is just a preview really for tomorrow and Friday. But anybody want to say anything now? I'm going to show it tonight to the whole group. And then we actually have a moment of blessing. And if you want copies, it's something you can do or arrange for your own communities.
Certainly, one of the things is just the importance, of, ritual. And, you know, I just think it's, you know, the book I've been reading talks about sort of this spiritual crisis in America, and I think the hunger for ritual and, how healing that can be.
And ritual, as you know, is what? It's a meaning system. You get up in the morning, right? I mean, some of you do. And then we do what? We don't usually say it publicly, of course. Right. I do, because I like to do it. But what's the first thing you do? Ritual.
Go pee.
Anybody?
Pee.
Okay, you could have said another. You could have said number one. Some do number two. And if you're lucky enough to have a bowel movement, I've talked to, seniors that are, really on the edge. Man, I just happy to have a bowel, they won't even let you out of the hospital unless you have a bowel movement, right?
Yes, right.
So the only freedom and release is a bowel movement. Now, try to bring that into your church. After your bowel movement, we will bless it today. But in a sense, we do. And just to remember something, sacraments, we're not two as we have it, or seven as the Catholic Orthodox have it, but there were times when there was 37 of them. Why? Because like the advertisement, healthy, wealthy, and wise, it's supposed to take you from your fullness. Every marketeer knows how to do this. The church has forgotten. I don't mean it's, I say that only in relationship to make it what I can say to you. I know churches that haven't forgotten it. Amen, thank God for those places. So please, I'm not criticizing all churches, so you know that I'm not saying that. Please understand that. Because, Darlene, you got it right. Ritual. Anything else, others, just for that brief moment. It's a moment, right? That's all it is. It took a moment to kill him. You realize how hard it is to get people to go to moments of blessing at first? Not anymore. Well, I'm busy. You see the cultural church? Maybe once a month. Okay, we go to the bathroom, we brush our teeth. What else? Life is short and I don't stay awake for it. I have as much caffeine as I can get in here, legally. Some of my friends I work with would give me some other things to wake me up. But it wouldn't take much to put me back to sleep. Okay, then just sort of the ritual of work. The biggest thing in low-income communities, by the way, with kids is what? What's the ritual that they all wish we all would do with them, and we seem to think it's insignificant?
Hug
them. Huh? Hug them. Oh, hug would be like, where did that come from? How about before a hug?
Breakfast.
No? Well, yeah, breakfast, too. I'm serious. Okay, after school. We do it here all the time. We make a ritual out of it here. Bus comes, we got people standing there, we welcome you. Why? You don't even know these fools. You're so happy when they leave, you go, forever, go. I watch, I can almost sense it sometimes. Ah, that one left, thank God. I like it. But we do make a ritual, don't we?
Yeah.
Literally, stand out there. The bus is actually gone, and these fools, Tom, where's Tom? I saw Tom sneak in. Tom, and he's waving. I'm looking at Tom. I want to say something. Tom, they're gone. I know he's bright. I know he has sense. Okay, I'm being ridiculous, but I'm not. Ritual is so important. And so I will give a poem out from a wonderful poet, Stafford, who's from the Northwest. He's dead now, William. You got a good book in this about peace. After war, there are two losers. So you can, but in there, it has the title of the poem, but not the poem, a ritual to read to each other. And it'll fit in later. Any other thing before we move on? Yeah.
I like the water with the fronds.
Okay.
Dan Erlander has written a new book called Water Washed and Spirit Born. And he says, live wet.
And I would recommend his new book, by the way. I have bought copies already and gave them out to people. Even if they can't read, give it to them. They can look at his little pictures. I mean, his pictures say more than his words half the time. Oh, seriously, you know, the imaging. And I'm Orthodox, and if I had no Bible in front of me, I still would know the pictures. You know, the head is there on the platter, whether I know the whole story or not. And so the symbolism then becomes real. This is a window into God. That was how they built it, you know, framed these. So I'm asking you to frame your moments tonight, today. Frame them somehow. If you've been abused, frame it. You want to come up here a minute? You're leaving, so I can embarrass you to hell. To heaven.
He likes picking on me.
I do. You're my right height. See, at least, you know, my son, I can't even, I have to, he has this. This is how he, I have to look up to my knee. I like to be in charge. Knowing that I'm not. You said a wonderful thing this morning at breakfast. See, what we don't know is hidden about how God worked with us. I actually brought you up when you had all that brief talk, death after death after death. And one of the ways that you said today that you and women, group of women, and you're actually the queen. I didn't say that. You said it.
I said it, yes.
Okay, so you said it. Own it. You're the queen of what?
Red Hat Society.
Say it loud.
Red Hat Society.
Red Hat Society. Anybody familiar with this?
Yeah.
Look at that. Somehow, the word got out. Anybody want to say what it is?
You're 50 year old women.
50 year olds acting like fools. Oh, no, that's not true.
Yeah, a red hat.
But you wear a red hat. What's the reason for the red hat?
Well, that's how it started. It started from the poem of Jenny Joseph.
Oh.
When I'm an old woman, I shall wear a red hat.
It started from a what?
A poem.
A poem.
A poem.
By Jenny Joseph.
We are God's work of art. In Greek, poema. They're God's living poems. And what else does it do for you?
Does it do for me?
Does it help you through some of that grief? The group?
Well, yes. And I think what I told you this morning is that I would have never survived what I have survived if I hadn't had the support of my Red Hat ladies.
Is that some small or big thing, friends? You don't have to answer it. You heard what she said. If she didn't survive, what happens?
You die.
You die or you're the living dead. There are a lot of living dead out there. The walking dead.
The walking dead.
And you know this. I don't want to bring it up. I don't want to get all emotional, but you could. I wish you all would. I wish we could cry again. I do. It's a tough world when you can't cry. You got to stuff it sometimes. And so what I try to bring, and this wasn't me, this was a group of people. This happened to be a Methodist group. You notice they pushed their little thing, not this one. If the Lutherans did it, we would have said, Pastor Ron Vinger from the UL. We would have did a little promo piece spread. But it doesn't matter. It's the community then, the weight of suffering that this woman has gone by, she then becomes a queen. Because you trusted those other women also. Or, you know, however that goes, right?
Yeah, and it's like I told you this morning, a lot of those women have been down this road.
They've been down the road. And so the paths we're on, and we're talking about the path Jesus would lead us on, and he brings healing. And so she became a healer for me by telling me this great story that she was the queen in Edmonds of the Red Hat. What do you call it, Red Hat?
Society.
Society. A society.
Well, my chapter is the Royal Jewels of Iran.
Say it again.
The Royal Jewels of Iran.
Now we're getting mystical. Now I got to pull back a little. But go ahead. Thank you. Give her a hand. It's quite amazing what, and I say that men do it too sometimes, but rarely. The women are learning how to break out of the stuff that we kept them in. And we can be both genders. We'll move on. We actually will do the Bible today a little.
Wow.
I'm talking about the Bible, of course. You don't know it at all. I would suggest my little linguistic thing that I learned at seminary, Luther Sam, from Gerhard Ferdy, who's now dead. He was a wonderful teacher. He once brought this to the class. I've never forgotten it. He uses this to explain the difference between reality of the gospel and the cross versus the reality of the law, and which is holy, righteous, and good, by the way. And so look what he says. Because, and you can stick in the blank, and if we were Christian, we would say what? Because Jesus died for us, therefore,
I'm free to serve.
And we would say that's reality. Put it in secular. Something, pick something secular. What we call secular. I don't know why we do that, but we do. As if the secular isn't sacred. Not according to the gospel. Paul would use one little word, all things. All. And he keeps saying it like, well, yeah, and then we add in, but not those.
And if we put in something really common, like, because I saved, therefore I can retire.
That's okay. Reality. You may be condemned for that later on, but you know, it's reality. You didn't help the poor, then you're going to get stuck. But it's all right, darling. You save your money.
I'm going to just pick something from our culture.
Yeah. Because, what's your last name? Bus?
Yeah.
You go by Bus?
I
know our husband.
Name, you'd understand why.
He's a preacher, that's too bad, but he's a good man. I knew him when he was at PLU as a student, wondering what to do with his life. I try to get him away from marriage and the seminary. He did both. He never learned. But anyway, I guess I wasn't wise. He wasn't. Because, Darlene, in the city of Port Orchard?
Oak Harbor.
Military. Flag is very prevalent there. Because Darlene, living in, and her eyes wide open to see that in the whole school system, nobody was receiving free and reduced lunches for kids in poverty. Is that correct?
Well, there was no lunch program.
Okay, no lunch program.
6,000 student school district.
Okay, that's more direct. But because, and therefore what happened?
Therefore a bunch of citizens, including myself,
don't put yourself down.
Worked at it, and there is.
Because at my age.
Because at my age, I have time to do things like that.
No more excuses. I'm too busy. The other thing you said is you're done with accumulating.
Yeah, I passed my accumulation phase.
How much more stuff do you want, folks? You got to have all these storage units. Even the poor have them. I mean, it's ridiculous. There's storage units for the poor. What are you storing in there besides dead bodies and drugs and stuff? On the other hand, you know, most of them are just the same old junk you and I have. So we have big garage. We can't put our cars in it because we've got all the stuff. I thought it was gospel this morning. Because, and then I would just say, because Christ freed Darlene, because I live in this place, because, therefore, I am going to do something about it. That's worthy of living in Christ. You don't want to bother with Christ, then don't bother with him. Just leave him. Better off, frankly. That's what I say about poor. They want to call help the poor. You don't want to give time. You don't want to give you. Because you don't have this and that, don't come there. Let them suffer. They'll do fine without us. And now, that's the end of that sermon. Okay, so you get the because, therefore. It's a very nice linguistic trick. This is the other one that most, this is what Safeway works off of. This is what every institution I know works off of. If you go to school and get that degree, my friend, Sonia, right? Sonia, you have a different look every day.
Really?
She fools me. If you go and get that degree, then I will hire you for $50,000 at Fairview Hospital in Minnesota. The only trouble with this statement was what? Was it real? How can it be real? She didn't fulfill the requirements yet. You understand? I don't care if she does or doesn't. The point is, she cannot be hired for $40,000, $50,000 in Fairview until the if is taken care of. Then maybe it'll happen. Even then, it's questionable. By then, you might be on, you have another look. Who knows what you'll turn into? You shave all your hair and become a Buddhist nun. I don't know. You understand that statement? So if you go all the way to the right, you notice I said right?
Right.
This is not left liberal, this is right. The top one, because therefore, is what I would call gift, not advice. Wisdom literature that we will read a little bit about is about advice, frankly. Well, what should I do, Pastor? I'll give you advice. It's free. Not usually useful, but I'll give it to you. Most of us wouldn't take it anyway, right? You ever take your advice? Oh, she's powerful, though. We already know. Rebecca has that name for a good reason. And so, and I'm not saying this is bad. Just keep in mind, when you're talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're talking about gift. Because he's already given it. You can't, all right? What are you going to do to get it? God gave you a gift. Or God did. Therefore, live a life worthy of that, St. Paul somewhere else. This is very powerful language. Every kid I know wants this. I get back to what I somehow got off of. They want to just be greedy. The ritual of, hey, what's up? Or whatever, how do you say? How do you greet someone in the morning, by the way? Anybody?
Morning.
You say good morning to each other? Don't you know each other? Why do you bother? Just go, huh? No, really, why don't you just go, yeah, get me my breakfast.
I'd never say that.
I know. Because what do you know? You'd be in the donkey house if you have one. If you don't, you'd just be out there. So he's wise. It's not gospel. He's just wise. Don't mess with my wife. No, really. How did you learn all of this? Why do you say good morning to each other at all? You don't have to answer. I just want you to think, when kids come out of school, half the time mom, dad are gone, if there's even a dad or a mom, the homeless. Shoot, I mean, why should I say good morning to some fool on the street? And you better watch out how you look at him, right? How do the eyes see? Most of us, you know, they say, what's his name? Harry's going to move to Tacoma, you know, the long-haired, bearded, weirdo-looking guy here in Tacoma. Imagine going to Tacoma to the Frank Russell Investment Corporation. I want a job, and he's wearing what he usually wears. How will they actually look at him first? This is important. How do people see you? They will always look at what? Look at your feet. They generally start from the bottom up. You can watch them. They go kind of... There's a reason why they don't go from the top down. Why? If I look directly in your eyes at the beginning, what happens?
You become a person.
You become a person. You might even get a glimpse. Oh my God, this person is real. Or scary. Or... In Sirach, it says that. Only it does say, look into their eyes. And we all know, we have books about looking into the eyes to see the heart. Paul will write about, use the eyes of the heart. eyes. And so part of the problem, and Tom and I briefly were talking about this, right? Yesterday we all were singing, what was that song?
One Fine Day.
Oh, let's go fly over. Oh, we're all happy. I mean, this group was like, man, we are going to heaven last night. And Tom comes over to me, kind of wiggles. He says, you realize we're singing about celebrating death? If the angel of death came, you guys would be pissing on the floor. We wouldn't be singing, let's go fly off. Ooh. But there's a reason why we do it, and I'm not into that. I just want you to see, and you said that it's a good thing. And then you said something that always moves me. We know it's death, but we don't see it. That it's us. I put that piece in, you didn't. It's us. So a good preacher, not me, I'm not a good preacher, but a really good preacher, knows how to get to, guess who it is? David. You're the one. Me? I'm the king. The queen. The household. So, one of the lessons I think wisdom gives us is this. Any farm people here? Somebody must have grew up a farm here.
Grew up on a farm.
I need a farmer. How about the big guy in blue? You're not going to come up here in front?
Okay.
I want to really embarrass you. I want to check out if he really was a farmer. And you can have these if you want them. If you don't want them, just leave them. If you saw this sign, what would you guess? That Make up a statement.
That reads no bullshit.
And yet it doesn't smell or anything.
No.
No. Okay. It's just a sign. You passed the test. Free spirit. Look at him. Get a hug. Guy's for real. He doesn't look like it, but look, he's got. I bet you're even patriotic.
Yes.
I bet you're a Republican too.
I'm afraid so.
I know. I'm a registered New York Republican.
All right.
Oh, you didn't think that. I know you didn't. I voted for Barry Goldwater. I thought I'd just go bomb all those Vietnamese, get the thing over with. I changed my mind, by the way. It's called So there's hope for you. Here, you can have that. And the sign literally was sent to me, and it really says there's no bullshit here. And I recommend this when we go into our schools, into our churches. If you're going to BS me, don't pay them. Really, I'm serious. Why should you put up with that? We've killed more kids, more people, because we actually don't observe the sign. And so all it is a sign. It's a simple, funny thing. But at least farm people know what the stuff is. And by the way, it's in the Bible. I know you think I don't know this. Luke 13. And it's the tree that they're going to cut down. Jesus is going to get rid of it. And then what does he do? Throw. Not just put, like polite gardeners. Throw the manure, the shit, right on the tree. Give it a year and see if something happens. Nothing happens, cut it down. I suggest we do that with our politicians. If you throw manure at them, though, be careful. It's a real, it's the move from thinking to action. And just to end with you, Darlene, on this, because wisdom, but it was the gospel, I think, that moved you, and then simply how do you do it, that's a different level. What came out of those two things that you stood up for? Well, and I know it's not just you, I understand that, it's a community that comes together.
Certainly there is a lunch program now, and because so many grants and things are tied to free and reduced lunch count, we can now apply for those. In the Oak Harbor School District, you couldn't even apply for those things without a lunch program because you didn't have a free and reduced count, which was, and it cost our taxpayers 7 cents per thousand just for the custodial because they have to be self-supporting, so it was this tiny little price to the community. And another thing I did was get parent-teacher conferences started in our high school, so they never
had. Can you imagine that? Tell them why they didn't have conferences. This is almost unbelievable.
It's too big. I was, I was brand new in town. My son is a freshman in high school, so I'm just asking stupid questions like, when are the conferences, assuming they existed? And, oh, that would be too much trouble. The school's too big. And I said, so tell me more. And we couldn't possibly arrange to have, to schedule all those teachers with all those students. And I said, well, in other places I've seen it done where you just put the teachers in the gym and let the parents find them. Make sure that there's times for the parents who work mornings, evenings, and nights, all of them to be there and get those covered. And by the next year, we had them, and parents love them. The parent involvement that high school has just got skyrocketed, and we now have those conferences.
Who's our assets person here? David's wife? Not David. Jane. Say it again.
Jane.
Is it Jane? She does the developmental assets, that's from Search Institute, the old Mertens thing that turned into Peter Benson, on and on. Okay, 40 years later, now it's the Search Institute. They would say exactly the measure, if you will, of the possibility for kids making it, say hello to them. Really, adult?
Yes.
Can't you ask a kid how's the day going? You don't have to give them any money or anything. Just say how's it going. That's it. And so forth, and then move on to the deeper, bigger that requires an action that requires you to really get off your duff and do something. And then I asked you where your husband was and all this. I can pick on Jerry because I know him. And he is not here. It was funny. What did you say?
Well, I said we were in town. He was busy getting the church, you know, getting his stuff.
And he should be.
Yeah.
I'm only saying how easy it would be for someone like me then. Oh, see, the clergy guy, he wasn't doing it. He was taking care of what God had given him in ministry to take care of, which was this church, who did need, by the way, some attention. Okay, and thank you for being kind to say you were a Republican in a place that you could get crucified here, you know. You just never know what happens up here. This flag is American. I will bring it tonight. Because I grew up with this in the Norwegian Lutheran Church. Always had an American flag. So we decided, when did we finally take them out of the church? Mainly. You could still find them in churches. 60s maybe? You know, I don't remember. Now this flag, though, cost me $30. Made in America, but we don't know where it's made. It could be made in one of those protectorates. We pay 50 cents an hour, not $15 an hour. This is a beautiful flag. I love the flag. Before I graduated from high school in 1960, I remember being sent down at Fort Hamilton High School in Brooklyn, New York, to the principal, because Ronnie Vinyak wouldn't get up and salute the flag. I refused. Well, and I think I was just too tired. I wasn't politically savvy. I didn't know anything. I just wasn't going to get up. And I remember Mrs. Garbarino. She was this beautiful math teacher. I loved her. I fell in love with her. I would be one of those accused of trying to have sex with the teacher. But I didn't, and she didn't. She got married. But she sent me to the principal because I wouldn't salute the flag. It would be decades later that I realized I didn't have to. I didn't know that. They can't make you salute the flag. I didn't know that under God wasn't in the flag until Eisenhower. I thought it was always in there. I mean, I didn't know. I was simply ignorant. So when you think of yourself in the faith, you don't know. Of course, everybody has counseling. I mean, everybody meets their teachers, don't they?
Not in Oak Harbor, they don't. Because we got flags.
No, I don't mean that, but just so you know, this then is a symbol for me of the 350 women who were murdered in this state. Ooh. By men who couldn't quite figure out how to control them. So they killed them. And in Lakewood, they had 350 of these flags in a field. I said it's worth at least $30. So I bought about three of them. I give them out to friends with the original reason it's there. It's respect for the flag. But you don't kill your wife or girlfriend because she won't listen to you, fool. And where do we learn that? Well, I think it has something to do with wisdom. You don't want to listen to Syrup on that because he's not real kind to a lot of women, but he has some good stuff. But certainly the Jesus path will not allow you to do that. Even Paul, sexist as he is, can't allow that to happen to women. Even when he goes to submit, do it because of what? Because what Christ has done for you. So he takes his cultural context, that's all. I mean, that was the context he lived in. I want you to take the context you live in, and for a moment, like that little video you saw, it's just a moment, Tillicum, whatever heck it was. I wish I was on Oprah with the little boy, because I'm a media freak. I want to be in the picture. Don't you? I get more coverage out of these little clip things. That's why I never send my report to them. So we got a choice with advice to take it or not. So when I walk in, who's the Safeway person here?
That's you again. God, you're in this thing all the time. If you walk into today's Safeway, not the one I showed you yesterday, which is the Max Weber one, which is you work an honest day, you get an honest deal. One sentence captured it, and the picture was everybody facing the symbol of salvation, which was the sun. I want you to picture your own symbol. What would you face if you were to point somebody to saving grace, saving anything? What would you point? I mean it, seriously. Are you a sign like this man? At least he has the guts to do what? I'm a free spirit. I got the American flag. I'm a Republican. I know what I believe. What do you believe? I would disagree with him is all. So what? Can't we love each other? You didn't hit me. Maybe later. I didn't hit him. I could have. And then the law would take over. That's what a vice usually turns into, right? That's the difference in Paul. He's always talking about that. You want to follow those laws? Go ahead. They'll finally condemn you. You'll get it big time. This is wonderful, though. This is what I just love this picture. I have a good friend who's a Lutheran, Frank Monaro. His son is going to seminary. He's head of the Safeway at Pearl Street. He's very successful. Little Italian guy. I got to know him when he gave me free donuts when I started my mission. He never told me he was a Lutheran. He said, what do you do with those donuts? I said, I'm the South Shandy Side Lutheran mission. And he said, yeah, I'm a Lutheran too. Oh, really? Because he's not allowed to do the religious stuff in the system of faith. Look at this image. Life. L-I-F-E. Simple. Big letters. Block letters. With pictures of what they consider life. A kid playing. You don't know what kind of kid. That's to be cross-cultural. A fruit. A pear. A beautiful young woman. You don't quite know what she is. Mixed, black, white, you know, whatever. And the last one, oranges. You know, a symbol of an orange. I don't know if those are what I would pick. Maybe you would pick different. Imagine what Holden would do. Beans. I mean, imagine trying to show life black bean soup. Come on, Paul, wake up. Get something better. Okay. But here's the key. Here's the message, though. The brand is clear. Safeway. Not Fred Meyer. Not Albertsons. Safeway. And then what does it say underneath? It's both true and a lie.
Ingredients for life.
Ingredients for life. And I'm only suggesting to you, I call Safeway my marketplace, 6:30 every Sunday morning. Jeannie, the head cashier, because she's the only one there. I go by, she knows me by name, she also knows the other pastors there by name. And she always asks, what are you preaching on this Sunday? Okay? And I actually give her, believe it or not, a synopsis.
I believe it.
You believe that? And that's only because some big guy's behind me, and he wasn't friendly about me talking about the gospel. But I do, and she always ends with, cast her on, loudly, in front of people. Not too many at 6:30 in the morning, but they're there. Pray for me. And I always say, I will, and you pray for us. One day, she showed up at our little mission with a woman who has a life not unlike yours, right there, sitting right there from Safeway. She works every Sunday, so she couldn't come. But she wanted to make sure she came once. And then at the holiday time, she actually buys with her own money. She's divorced and has a lot of her own stuff. Buys gift certificates for people that we help. Ingredients for life. Now, you are in your church. Anybody here go to church? I don't assume it anymore, by the way. Steffi, if you wanted to, you're meeting somebody in New York subway there, and you say, I got the ingredients for life. And you're thinking of your church, what would you say? I'm putting you on the spot.
That's fine. I think the first thing I would say is prayer.
Okay. One of the ingredients for life is to pray. Didn't you hear what I told you? I'd leave in the Safeway. Pray for me. Because you know the lie in the Safeway store. It has all those beautiful veggies and everything. And right across the aisle is sugar that kills and fat. Candy, sugar pops, not cornflakes.
When you run out of all the fancy stuff, it's Roland's Matins 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Cornflakes. You look for the basics, the staples. Prayer. What else?
Love.
So who said that?
Little old me.
Little old you? Who's the lover there?
Is that Paul?
No, oh, that's my buddy from along the business end. He used to be Republican.
You got that right.
See, I got something right. See, you all thought I didn't know what I was talking about. What else?
Hope.
Hope. Forgiveness. Oh, my Lord.
Meaning.
Meaning? Meaning to the mess we're in.
Yeah. Grace.
Grace? Another way, would be, do me a favor, God? It means favor. But we're so polite, we don't want to ask God, would you give me a favor? We think that's begging. And Luther's last written word is what? His very last, the ones we know. We're all beggars. What do you got left when it's all, somebody else was saying about everything was lost. Who heard it in the Mass? Who's our preacher guy here?
Mary.
It was a beautiful prayer. And in that prayer, when all things are gone, we know what's left. And you want to get to those basics. Well, can we do it in life? And that's what I suggest is going on in the hope literature, which would be all of the Gospels. But all, and then all of the Paul's letters. But you notice Paul goes from what? Because, therefore. He moves from the good news, the gift, to what? Ethics, always. So in Romans, what chapter is the switch? 12. If you go to 12 first, and you don't know what the because is, you're going to have a problem. Because you're going to think you can do this. It's not about you doing that. It's because something's been done for you and us, the world, and all the things in it. Therefore, you don't have to know all of it. But you do have to have that because. Otherwise, you start getting trapped like the advertisers do it for us. See, that's all they do. They've learned by heart how to make you need and buy. Come those who are, this is Isaiah. It's not like Jesus was the first one, right? Come those who are thirsty and hungry. Come and buy that which is free. Well, churches. They always pass the stupid plate. Why do they do that? I don't pass the plate, by the way. In 20 years, I never have passed the plate.
They need money.
They need money. Don't I get money? I'm serious. Yeah. I know other churches doing this, by the way. Big churches, not my little kind of off-the-cuff stuff. I mean big churches that will not pass the plate anymore. Why? Because you know what we've done mentally. I pass the plate, the cup. We're like the beggars on the street. Oh, and they say, God bless you, and you didn't give anything? You already know you're damned. You didn't buy into the church? Please, and then what did you forget the lessons? I do all the time. I want to suggest to you, wisdom at least gives us some daily good stuff. And so I will, just so we keep the context of before, I'll use Colossians. It's a wonderful, I love Colossians. Is that other queen of the street? I'm getting it back, aren't I? That's the problem, you say you're too long. Start throwing it back at you. And I enjoy it. And you, who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil things, He has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death. That's what you saw. So as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him. And yes, there's a provision that you continue doing what you need to be doing that he established. Wow.
Hey, you just keep going on. I am now rejoicing in what? My sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. Tom, you were right. I won't. That was a personal and a beautiful statement you made in the kitchen the other day, or in the dining room. And then he goes on, and I'm going to just read. We won't. This is not for. He says, "And when you were dead in trespasses," meaning the walking dead, "and the uncircumcision of your flesh." Now that's a Jewish ritual, obviously very meaningful. "God made you alive together with him when he forgave us all our trespasses." Here's the part that we don't often get. Erasing. Did you hear me? Like that board? Erasing the record that stood against us with all its legal demands. And just so you understand the word and the language here, in debt, well, who's any banker, business guy? Anyway, somebody here must know something about banking. You have a debt, you know, you get one of those sheets, and you go back and they made a mistake, or you made a mistake and you're trying to rectify it. In Jesus' time, they would have put the what? The chi, which is, the, which, what letter is chi? Or chi, or whatever. Anybody know? C-H-I. Somebody here knows Greek, I know it. What is it?
X.
Thank you. And then what would they do? They'd chi it out. Here's my debt. Now that looks like you're free, but you're not. Just like on computers, you delete. It's hidden in the hard drive. And some fooler really wants to find out what you've been looking at. Be careful, guys. So they can draw it up. So we tend to like to do that when we don't like what's happening with you. We just forgave your debt. Yeah, right. Except now they're going to bring in and show you again, right on screen. What Paul just said is, I'm going to erase. How did they erase things? They didn't have erasers in the, his time. How did they erase the papyrus? Anybody who's a chemist?
Oh, they put it in lemon juice.
Yeah, they put a separate, whatever it is, that draws the inks out, and it's gone. And it meant blot out. That's what Paul's talking about. He's not talking about the chi. That's what we do. We're still in the law when we do that. We haven't really forgiven you. So when I do, and if you happen to do confession every Sunday, I make a big deal about confession in my little mission. I make a big deal. I make sure I go in like this and put on a robe and make sure, do you know what I'm putting on? They look at you like they're stupid. They're not. They understand dress. Everybody does. I do. I actually, every Sunday, took ad nauseum. Because I know they're not going to remember, why is this robe going on? And then only then will I confront them with, the. And I say, not tell your sad story, confess. It's a big difference. I was a counselor for years. I know. Telling a story is not the same as confessing. I did something really wrong, Pastor. So, Paul is doing something that the whole Old Testament is moving towards. There's forgiveness in the Old Testament. You know that. It's there. Everybody knows it. Yeah, Jonah. Well, you knew you were a forgiving God, damn it. Why? I wanted those people dead, says Jonah. Wonderful, righteous man that he is. He's mad. Who's Darlene? That's this book you're reading. Whether you're on the left or the right, we want the other part eradicated. Okay, I just want you to hear those words. Erase the record that stood against you with the legal demands. He set it aside, doing what? Putting it on the cross. What are you going to do with the guy now? You got clemency, folks. What does the word clemency mean? Anybody? Clement. What does clement mean? It's clement weather out there today. It's good weather. Why? Because it's not 600 inches of snow, and it's not coming through the windows. It's clement weather.
most of us, I know, I just intuitively I'd say, most of us are always thinking, because the TV makes this into this huge inclement weather. We want to hear the nasties. What were you doing in that room? Who was smoking? Churches are filled with the first. And I, Paul says it, not me, because I don't know anything about gossip. I'll lose my head if I keep talking. Right? Do you understand what he's saying? I hope you, I know you do. But listen to that erasing, setting aside, so what, for what? Yes?
We used to talk about, what's the difference between religion and Christianity? Religion is spelled do. Christianity is spelled done.
Done? Dumb or done?
Done.
Oh. Yeah. I heard the word dumb. I suggest dumb is a better word. That's an axe, right? When Peter and his crew are out there doing the work, what do they say? What's the word in Greek? You're idiot. The idiots, they're amazed. The idiots are doing all this healing. So they're called idiotai. Idiots. That's where that whole idiot series comes from. Who are the idiots? Anybody? Greek? Idiotai. Who's the idiots? The lay people. It's the ones who didn't quite get their masters yet. Are you healing now, people? Of course you are. I know you are. You told us the other day. But she's not a professional. She's not certified. She doesn't have a degree. You could have one credit, be this far, have your practicums done, everything. You could have it all done, and you don't have that one degree, you will not be certified. And you will be considered an idiot. I'm serious. A lay person, an ordinary person. That was the disciples. It shocked the professionals that idiots could actually get anything done in the name of God. So I would suggest those people like me, the clergy, you know, the Shepherds Union Incorporated, we pay our dues, but the real healers, feeding the people, getting them to interact, and that's what we call today, right? We call it the missional church. You're sent. Of course I'm sent. And I just did a little differently in the context of Sal's channel here. So this is very important stuff. I would make the distinction, though, because it's so easy to mold the two together and come out with law again. Between the gospel of Christ, which is gift, as Carol, the big guy, used to say, big C, I call him, gift, gift, gift. I used to wonder what the heck's he always repeating this for. Gift, gift, gift. And we want to say demand, demand, demand. Or worse, scold, scold, scold. Kids understand it. And we understand it. So, yes, Safeway does have the ingredients for life, if you're there. I might even trust the place a little. If you put that sign over the cashier thing, I might even trust you more. I get it. And I won't even go into it. I want to read at least, we got enough time to at least read some wisdom. In light of Jim's stuff, John, rather. You're not a Jim. You're John.
Jim, John.
John Wallace. You had another copy of this. Okay. Go to these sessions. I hope you go to the guys that don't have a Bible. Herlon said he doesn't own one, and Peter Nash, they're wonderful duo about white privilege and access and so forth. I really hope you go and then try to, if this means anything, bring it some of this webbing together. I really recommend reading the old classic Max Weber's The Protestant Ethic and the Spirit of Capitalism. And by the way, this is the guy I was referring with the monasteries. I don't know who he is,
yeah.
But Randall Collins,
okay.
Very good. And then I would give this has been Hannah Arendt, she wasn't Christian,
But boy, if you want to hear about Jesus from somebody who knows Jesus and is not part of the church, read, "This human condition is worth it." Her thing on Jesus' genius was forgiveness and how she talks about it. I'll talk about that a little bit on Friday with I Am With You Always, mainly through this video when it says the little girl, she's the neighbor who found the dead, and she really was grieving this little friend of hers. And she read the song. And what was the song? What did she say? She was reading it. Did you catch it? I fear no evil, even though I walk through the... And the way they did it, they cut her, valley, the shadow of death, and then it stopped. And I would suggest to you, you stop there, because that's where most people are stuck. They get stuck in the shadow. And it's only when that next statement comes that it explodes. You are with me. It's not asking God for anything. In fact, the psalm is just phenomenal. We'll talk about that on Friday. Hannah Arendt actually understands it. And I'll read a little bit of her stuff on forgiveness on Friday. Measure my life in moments, that retired judge. And by the way, that young man, Gerald Hankerson, got clemency. We're now trying to politically advocate that he, after 20 years, this is his last chance to get to be let out. So you, as you know, it's like the emperor. The governor can what? Give clemency. You remember the story of Jesus, right? When he gets arrested by Pilate, he interviews. What's the interview come out like? I find nothing wrong with this guy. Sends him to who? Herod. Does Herod and Pilate like each other? Ooh, they hate each other. Isn't that funny? Politically? Can you imagine that? One's red, one's blue. Who knows? But that's what the Bible says. What happens when they meet Jesus and he doesn't answer them? Anybody remember this? They became friends. That's what the Bible says. They became friends. Then they went to the mob and said, "Let him go. We don't find anything wrong with him." The mob, huh? Not the leaders. We always like to pick on Bush and whoever. Saddam. The mob says what? And let who go? There's clemency here, by the way. We're going to let one of them go. Who? The murderer. That's you and me. We let the murderers go. While the other guys have made friends. And in economics, that'd be fun to tell that story in some sort of... Anyway, now we're going to go to Sirach. Anybody know where Sirach is in the Bible? Your Bibles don't have it, so where is it? In the Apocrypha. This one happens to have it. The library has a bunch of them. I believe the bookstore carries the NRSV with the Apocrypha, I think. If you don't have it, you really should get a copy. Sirach, Luther understood it. By the way, there's a whole section in this book on Sirach.
Right, there is, yeah.
Because the Protestant ethic is built on Sirach. And here we sit like, we never read it. Why? Because Luther said get rid of it, and then we did, sort of. And the Reformers, and then we built a whole economic system on something that you and I don't read anymore. Go read it. That's the law. If you don't, you don't. I really recommend it. I would just say, like the book of Proverbs, it deals with wisdom teachings, prudent speech, wealth and poverty, honesty, diligence, choice of friends, sin and death, retribution, and wisdom itself. Unlike Proverbs, individual Proverbs are not set apart, but are incorporated into smooth-flowing poems of some length. It's a gorgeous book to read. And you don't have to, you can go anywhere in it, just start. It's sort of like how I think. It doesn't matter where I start. I always wind up going where I go. And the Sirach is that way. Just to frame it, this is the frame, like this is a frame. All wisdom is from the Lord, and with him it remains forever. Okay? And now I'm going to just read a couple of little pieces, and you can go and find this book. My child, help your father. This is for all the any gray-haired people. Raise your hands. My child, help your father in his old age. Do not grieve him as long as he lives, even if his mind fails. I read this to my kids one day. Be patient with him, because you have all your faculties. Do not despise him, for kindness to a father will not be forgotten. A whole week. Even if your faculties go. That is amazing. And will be credit to you against your sins. You guys should be on your floor washing his feet. According to Sirach.
They have been.
I know, I know. In the day of your distress, it will be remembered in your favor. Like frost and fair weather, your sins will melt away. It's poetic. Whoever forsakes a father is like a blasphemer, and whoever angers a mother is cursed by the Lord. Not bad. But this stuff just goes on and on. Do not avoid those who weep, but mourn with those who mourn. Do not hesitate to visit the sick, because for such deeds you will be loved. By the way, they have a whole thing of deeds, gets your reward and, you know, the crown of heaven stuff. In all you do, remember the end of your life. Then you will never sin. Imagine if we made decisions that way. That's the law, though. That's not the gospel. The problem is we don't, and we have what? Jesus says we have forgiveness, the blotting out, so we can go now the next day. So just keep, that's all I want you to always remember when you're reading Sirach, because it can be distressing. Warnings about women. I will skip that one. It's actually worth reading. But I don't want to get into, I get crazy when I read those. My child, for those who get so guilty when they eat a El Gaucho's dinner. You know, oh, I love it. I mean, I got an award once like this. And I'm bragging. Oops. See how heavy it is? How many of you have one of these? See? President's Award, PLU. Isn't it nice? Yeah, Vic. But I thought it was one of those chocolate things where you have to go. So I'm sitting there going like, is this thing real? Why would they give me an award? So I know why and all that. I only say this because my hip-hop friends, I put it on and I actually go to some of these black guys and white and all and pretend it's one of those medals, whatever they call them. You know, the bling or the blitz. Okay, this is one of my child. Treat yourself well. It's not Lutheran. And according to your means. Oh. Use your credit card. And present worthy offerings to the Lord. Oh, that's the churchy piece. Remember that death does not tarry, and the decree of Hades, I love Hades, better than hell, has not been shown to you. You don't really know, folks. Do good to friends before you die, and reach out and give to them as much as you can. I just think that's incredible wisdom. Do not deprive yourself of a day's enjoyment. Do not let your share of desired good pass by you. This is not the asceticism of beat yourself up, because God wants you to be humble. It is what the media says. They got it before the church is all. And we never figure out how to frame it. Will you not leave the fruit of your labors to another? Isn't that true, Jerry? And what you acquired by toil to be divided by lot or wills. Give and take and indulge yourself, because in Hades one cannot look for luxury. All living beings become old like a garment. For the decree from the old is, they don't mince words, you must die. Like abundant leaves on a spreading tree that sheds some and puts forth others, so are the generations of flesh and blood. One dies and another is born. Every work decays and ceases to exist, and the one who made it will pass away with it. It's just a perspective, a balance, a pulling us back so that we don't get arrogant and crazy and start trusting what? The idols of healthy, wealthy, and wise that will sell you the lie, hook, line, and sinker, and you know it, and I've bought it. We all have bought it to some extent. And it's not all bad, by the way. I'm not talking about bad and good here. That's not, that wisdom will talk about that. Well, that's kind of it. The last one I want to give to you, I have sent to doctors. And I've done this because I have, in confidence, they have come to me, and one here in particular who's an oncologist, who was so depressed with his work, he said, I can't read the New Testament anymore. And I said, well, then read the Old Testament. At least they say something kind about doctors. Okay. Oh, just for the fathers. Any fathers here? If you wonder why your kid is errant, he who loves his son will whip him often. I recommend you not do that. This one I love. Better off poor, healthy, and fit than rich and afflicted in the body. Yes. Health and fitness are better than any gold, and a robust body than countless riches. There is no wealth better than health of the body, no gladness above joy of heart. Death is better than a life of misery, and eternal sleep than chronic sickness. Now, that kind of wisdom, if you look at the pharmaceutical world and the okay, they know that is what we do believe. Health is just a gift of God. When we, so I don't agree with it's better to be gone, but that's not a bad poll. I just want you to know that's the kind of wisdom you'll find when you read Sirach. And the last one is to any physicians here? I know we have one in the, Don's wife is probably out, your doctor. And we'll end with that. It's chapter 38. And I'll you can leave if you need to. Oh, here it is. Concerning physicians. I never knew this, because I was one of the, I've been with Pentecostals, so they don't believe in doctors, the Seventh-day Adventists, I mean, a lot of these religious groups. And so Sirach is trying to balance the two things. Sin, you got sick, why, in the Old Testament at least? Because something you did, it was your fault. And I believe most Americans believe the reason why you're sick, it's your fault. I know why. What are you smoking? It's your fault. How come you're obese? Your fault. And we try to blame the corporation. Yeah. I'm fat because of McDonald's. No, you're a fat fool because you kept eating the stupid things. No, oh, but we want to, and then we go into no fault. We can't figure it out. We just say nobody's fault. Honor physicians, honor, for their services, for the Lord created them. For their gift of healing comes from the Most High. They are rewarded by the King. The skill of physicians makes them distinguished. And in the presence of the great, they are admired. This is very like our time. The Lord created medicines out of the earth, and the sensible will not despise them. Was not water made sweet with a tree in order that its power might be known? And he gave skill to human beings that he might be glorified in his marvelous works. By them, the physician heals, takes away pain. The pharmacist makes a mixture from them. God works will never be finished. And from him, health spreads all over the earth. And then he gives more advice. I only say that in light of our discussions about pharmaceuticals, they're all the bad guys, on and on and on. When in fact, our tradition says, God has created this for good things. So then our task then is, how do we move from because, therefore, into what Darlene figured out, however you did, to therefore. Well, let's have meetings with our parents to help these kids in school. Let's feed them breakfast. They need breakfast, friends. And I always honored the public schools more than I did the church charity food banks. The food banks don't feed our kids. It's the public schools, thank God. And I don't care if they like the food and you look at them, throw away this, that. They do that here in Holden. You at least give them an option. You don't like the twigs and stuff? Go have your peanut butter. Oh, seriously. This place is creatively deals with us and our, I don't like that. Well, good, don't eat it. In my house, you had to eat it, of course.
Clean your plate, you know,
I mean, literally. So I did, and I also got very large on that. But I also got very large on a single slice pizza, which I loved, and hot bagels, which they don't make authentically anymore. Because Ciroc told me I could. Anyway, just remember that. Tomorrow we will deal a little bit with possibly what happens today with the moment of blessings for worship. And it's also a time to be aware of the hunger that is out there. Our own hunger also. What do you really desire? And, you know, if it's not food, then maybe it's something else. Heal it. Wear a red hat.